Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos, but that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
We have an inaugural WOS Wrestling Women's Champion, that's right, a lady person! I'm Ollie Davis, this is Luke Owen, welcome to episode 2 of WOS Wrestling's recap post-show, whatever you want to call thing. We are, of course, this is the Wrestle Ramble, and we are supporting British wrestling. It is still, we're 2 weeks in now, and the novelty has not worn off for me seeing Nathan Cruz, Liam Slater, Rampage.
Robbie X
under a mask. Yeah. I know what his real face looks like.
Stu Bennett apparently doesn't.
Yeah. And it's just like, and Viper.
Yeah.
Our best friend Viper, we interviewed her last week.
My best mate. She loved me.
She did. Yeah, there was a sort of chemistry there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't shown it to my wife.
No, I don't think you should.
And well, she's in love with Joe Hendry, so I think that would be fine.
What a weird Scottish-English relationship you could sort out. But yes, the novelty for me is still not worn off. I don't think it will, to be honest, because it's such an incredibly enjoyable show. And this episode was main evented by the women. Two episodes in, women's match in the main event. That's already a thumbs up from me to just present these two divisions as side-by-side unworthy from the get-go.
Well, thankfully, Stephanie McMahon came out to announce that she had, you know, oh, no, that's a different show. No.
She created women.
Exactly.
Yes. So it was Viper versus Kaylee Ray versus Bree Priestley for the inaugural WOS Wrestling Women's Championship, which is quite a pretty looking belt.
It's a very pretty looking belt.
I like all the belts on the show.
I'm a big fan of the belts. Mm. I've seen a few people be quite a bit snippy about them online, but I think they're very nice belts.
Yeah, much better than there's going to be a lot of comparisons to WWE because that's our main point of reference, and I'm sure yours all's too. So this was just Viper being awesome.
It was, yeah. This match was really cleverly laid out in that Viper was the big monster heel within this, and Bea Priestley and Kaylee Ray had to be like they were the planes. She was King Kong, just sort of batting them away and from on top of the building. And it was really, really cool. And that built up to Kaylee Ray and Bea Priestley working together to take on Viper and take her down. I thought it was actually a really well laid out match. And it ended with a heck of a bump for Bea Priestley.
Oh, yeah. So it was Bea Priestley who SoCal Val pointed out as the real life girlfriend of Will Ospreay, which I always like when they do that because it means they're not a kayfabe thing. Like, it's not a storyline. Let's just point that out. It's a real thing in a wrestling show. And, she does a running Hurricanrana off the apron onto Viper. But Viper's like,
Nope. And power bombs are on the floor.
Oof, yeah. And there were some people around ringside who looked genuinely concerned for poor old Bea Priestley.
Yeah, there's one reaction shot of just some people like, is she okay?
Well, she all right?
Is that okay? Yeah, it was...
She's splattered on the floor. There are actually a couple of spots in this where... like they did a really good job of making Viper just look like this absolutely dominating force, which then, of course, made the pinfall at the end even more dramatic because finally they overcame this, including like Viper doing this wicked like double splash onto them from a seated position.
Oh, which that was
absolutely
good.
Just and like Alex Shane on commentary pointed out best, was like, someone needs to get a spatula out here because these girls aren't going to be able to get off the mat.
Alex Shane had so many good calls. So did SoCal Val's one-liners as well. And Stu Bennett is just like this. They've got a really good chemistry. Not just chemistry, because that implies like more of just a professional working relationship thing. But storyline-wise, a really good dynamic there. I was confused last week about how having the authority figure on the commentary team would work. But now, this sort of friction between Shane and Bennett is playing really nicely. And it's pushing both men further into their respective moral sides. So, like, Shane really felt in, like, the JR Joey Styles outraged babyface commentator way. Like, he had a real moral, like, solid moral viewpoint on everything that was happening, whereas Stu Bennett was, you know, those shades of grey for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it recalls to me, I'm not putting on the same pedestal or same level, I'm just saying that what it reminded me of very much, and you pointed out there, is that it's the JR Vince dynamic of, you know, sort of late 90s WWF, 2000 WWF, where JR is just, he just wants to see baby faces win, but these heel authority figures keep putting things in and he just gets so annoyed. And anytime Vince is on commentary, JR could be there to be like, why are you allowing this? How is this all right? And he goes, well, you know, JR, this is just the way things have to be.
Yeah, and that was Stu Bennett's answer for so many things. Hey, that's like, yeah, if... it's just going to happen, these things. Tough guys do tough guy things. And Shane's like, no, but it's against the rules. So you've got this, yeah, it's a really good dynamic. I mean, I don't think Shane is coming out of retirement, but Stu Bennett has teased in interviews that he would like might return eventually. He's just on a hiatus from wrestling.
Hey, man, that was actually a talking point. I think it was during the tag match. They were talking about, like, yeah, we're not going to get the retirement cake out for me just yet.
Yeah, Stu said, you are never retired from British wrestling in the tag match.
Yeah.
But yes, the Viper was just awesome throughout the match. And as you said, like, initially, as the match was going, I was like, well, Viper's got to win here. She's the most over with the... well, not over, because the crowd weren't as hot for this match as they were for the rest of the show. And I think that's more of a testament to how frenzied they were. Like, that sort of studio thing where they pipe gas in to make everyone more excited. It was just insane heat for everything.
I mean, you see this a lot on taped TV shows anyway. When you tape a lot in one go, eventually the crowd do sort of wear themselves out, because although we're only seeing like 47 minutes or whatever it is of the TV program, they've actually at that point watched multiple hours worth of stuff. And that's why they're always, you see this on NXT, you see this when they do Impact as well, very, very hot for the first episode of tapings and then just sort of slowly fizzle out as the tapings go on, until then you do the next set of tapings and everyone's like, whoa, we're back to where we were.
But there was some weird bits where the crowd would go like, Viper suck, Viper suck. And I was like, but she hasn't cheated. She's awesome. Like, I'm on babyface monster Viper side.
But you want to cheer the heels. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do cheer the heels. But she didn't do anything for me that was outlandishly heelish. So I'm watching the match and I'm thinking, well, Viper's got to win here. She's the coolest person. She's our best friend.
Yeah.
And it's Kaylee Ray who wins. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, actually, this opens up a lot more possibilities, because, you know, you get that thing where you have a monster dominating champion and actually quite stagnates the division. I think long term, this is a smart move, because Viper didn't look weak. She beat both women up for the majority of the match and only lost at the end. There's an argument that she didn't have to take the pinfall. Maybe that would have been a better way around it, actually. But yes, I'm excited to see more of Viper. Kaylee Ray's great. She did some wicked super kicks.
Yeah, Bea Priestley's really good as well. Really, really good. I would also say as well, I'm glad to see that Kaylee Ray won the belt and not Viper, despite the fact she is my best friend.
Our best friend.
I like the fact that it's Kaylee Ray, because you've got Rampage as the men's women champion. So what you don't want is then just sort of two heels, two dominating heels with the belts, just sort of doing the same storylines. Like, you can now do different storylines with the women's division than you are doing with the men's division. Same with the tag team division as well. You can tell a different story that way. So I actually like the fact that you've got this, you know, babyface champion that the crowd can get behind, whereas in the men's division you've got this all dastardly boo you heel
with his cronies.
He's got East London walking around, you going, oh, you lot.
And CJ Banks, who I think is a mute at the moment, hasn't said a word yet. That's a good point. I didn't really think of that.
But we
have to point out one thing, because it was brought up on the last week's comments of the episode, and that is the editing of the show.
Yeah, and actually a lot of the reviews talking about the show have that. I mean, I think that's been more or less the main talking point from people who watched the show. People said, like, they were very, you know, really enjoyed the show, but they took umbrage with the editing. I've actually seen a lot of very sniffy reviews of the show.
Sniffy, smarky reviews.
Well, and that's what they were, very, very smarky reviews, which I thought were incredibly unfair.
Hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
But I thought some of the reviews were very unfair. However,
that is your opinion.
That is my opinion. However, I think there's one thing we can all agree on, is that sometimes the editing can be...
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And it's because what we're used to. So I didn't notice it as much as everyone else did last week, presumably because I was just very invested in seeing British wrestling on a major platform.
You're also distracted by the animated title.
Yeah, because Shah Samuels was sitting in front of us and just waving, East London! Just waving his arms in front of the screen.
I meant on...
The animated graphics.
Match graphics, yeah. You were distracted by all of those.
They were so... That's what this episode lacked, actually.
They had it once.
Where were they? and it is that... Yeah, so I'm just so happy that British wrestling is getting this sort of profile in our own country.
Mm.
And
Primetime TV, ITV.
And that's the thing. So this is speculation on my part. There's spots from like last week's episode where Will Ospreay does his cool flip. Like, there's a shooting star moment, I think, where who was it? Davey Boy Smith Jr. catches him with a foot on the way down. That's a great spot. But the camera cuts away to the crowd. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And it happened a few times this episode as well. And I'm thinking, that's what happened back in the day when I would watch SmackDown on Sky One. And then, you know, because it's at 11 a.m. rather than 9 p.m., you would cut to the crowd for chair shots and stuff. And then I thought, wait a god, darn second.
Yep. Edit yourself.
I used to work on a British wrestling show, like, sort of broadcast-wise, that would go out on local television in the afternoon. So... prime time, but when a lot of families and kids were watching. And it was a big thing that you have to be very wary of the point of impact. So even for stuff like chops or slaps or punches or super kicks, more than the larger moves, you can't really show the connection. And a way round this, round the sensors, is to an Ofcom and regulatory bodies like that, is to cut around. You just cut to a different shot. You don't lose any of the action, but just the motion of the cut takes away a bit of the impact.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
yeah, that's true.
We are super wrestling fans. We love the impact. That's what, you know, we like Ishii chopping people half to death. So to have that, those sort of money shots, as it were, taken away from us, I think that's, and understandably so, because it is jarring for what we're used to. But I think that this is a necessary trade-off to get a show like this on ITV at 5 p.m. So... I think we can criticize it for the editing, but we've also got to remember that this is creating a whole new generation of wrestling fans, you know, like under 10-year-olds who are going to fuel the next big wrestling British stars, like Joe Hendry when he walked out this week. Everyone's waving their arms. I was like, man, I've known Joe for like a couple of years, and This makes me so, so happy.
That's it, yeah.
So yes, that's what I would say to everyone who's overly critical of that. It's probably a trade-off to make it more accessible to everyone. And really, at the end of the day, isn't that what you want for the business, for the wrestling business as a whole in this country, to be available for as many people as possible? Rather than just making it your own thing.
I'd also say as well, like, it is an ITV show. And a lot of people saying like, well, it looks like an ITV show. I was like, well, what were you expecting?
yeah.
Let's be honest.
It's on ITV.
It's not like you watch the Mae Young Classic and you're like, well, it looks like a WWE show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it does, because it's made by those people. So it's more or less how I was expecting it to look. But that's a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of with the point of impact thing. And I agree with you. I think it's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
It is. And I think the word you use there that I agree with the most is jarring. Because we're so used to watching a certain, like, we're used to watching the way New Japan is filmed. We're used to way the watching. And actually, when you watch some wrestling shows that are only shot through one camera, sometimes I find those very jarring to watch, even though you are still seeing all the points of impact stuff. Because you're so used to certain things, that can be a very jarring way to watch. It's even things like watching shows that's only got one commentator. That can sometimes be a jarring thing for
you. It's just a change, isn't it?
It's a change. We're used to certain things. But I consider that point of view.
As you said that, I thought, I bet those people who are really like, I can't get past the editing of
this,
well,
is awful,
of sport.
It's, I can't terrible, do it. I can't do it.
Are the same people who would probably watch an indie show on Daily Motion that has just the worst camera work and editing problems. What a great match that was. Now nobody's ever going to watch that match other than you, most likely. But it's yours, so cool.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, and not to belittle the editing concerns, because it is, like you said, jarring. But trade-offs, people. But back to... it's still such an enjoyable show. And, I mean, I've got to do it again. A shout-out to the commentary team. It is so... it's bliss, because we watch so much WWE and it's all bad. It's average to bad commentary.
Yeah.
And when we watch Impact or when we watch New Japan, we're like, oh my God, what a joy this is. And now we can watch World of Sport as well and have that same... They just tell stories on the commentary. Like, and they focus on the action in the ring and they don't like get diverted to nonsense.
I really hope that Adam Maxted is on TV every week just so we can enjoy SoCal's commentary whenever she's commentating on Adam Maxted, because she's so enjoyably fun with it. She really gets into that character that she's found. I think it's wonderful. It's really enjoyable.
It's only 2 weeks in, and I feel like they've all already found their own characters and spots, more so this week than last week, because SoCal Val, really, she was funny last week, but she just had... She's adorkable, I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And Shane is like this like moral compass, and Bennett's this dastardly authority figure. I'm very much enjoying it. But the show opened with Stu Bennett standing up from the commentary table, and he's like, heel move. So he opens with a heel thing, like Rampage is the champion, boo. Then he goes, but we're getting a WS first women's champion crown later.
Hey.
Babyface reaction. I thought, this is cool when Stu's doing it. Why do I get annoyed when Stephanie's doing it? I think it's just sometimes you just get annoyed by anything WWE. And then he brings it back to the heel, because we're going to have an in-ring celebration with Rampage and Shar Samuels and CJ Banks.
God, these two cronies. They're just almost like perfect for Rampage to walk down with. It's just really enjoyable. Particularly Shar.
Shar is...
He's so good in his role. And he's the one who cuts the promo for him as well. Rampage doesn't take the microphone. Shar Samuels has got the microphone. He's like, look how great this champion is. He's wonderful. I love him. He's great.
So good.
And then they get interrupted.
He's always been a great pro. Nobody has got the minerals to challenge Rampage.
But someone did have the minerals.
And I was not expecting this.
And it was our boy, Wrestle Talk's own, Joe Hendry, here to make things better. And he comes out and he's got his song playing. When his entrance music hit and he's there singing, nice little pop from the crowd as well. It was great. And everyone's super into the hand waving. I really enjoyed Joe Hendry here cutting this promo. And then there was a very interesting, and Alex Shane brought this up on commentary as well, because Joe Hendry's like, I want a match and I want it right now. And here's me thinking, this isn't going to happen. I'm as a fan, I'm going like, no, because Stu Bennett's out there on commentary. He's going to say, like, you can have a match, but not with Rampage, with Shar Samuels or with CJ. You turn it around like that instead. But no, Rampage and I didn't call it Wade Barrett then. Stu had this little look, and Stu was just like, ring the bell. And it was a very interesting look. And Alex Shane was bringing this up as well.
Yeah, and that's like really good, subtle storytelling, because Shane was never like, you made that look. He's like, I'm pretty sure I saw that look between you. What's going on there? And she's like, there was nothing. I was just making sure with both competitors that they wanted to have this match.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not in your face, but later on, Shar and CJ Banks interfere from the outside. effectively not costing Hendry the match because it was only like a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
So Rampage doesn't look like a weak champion at all.
No,
he's still
doesn't.
Terrifying. That's what's so good about him, because he doesn't need the interference, but he's a heel. he's using it anyway.
He is, yeah.
It was a good first match as well.
Yeah, good.
And just love Shah Samuels.
Yeah,
just love Shah Samuels.
Shah Samuels, who terrified you in your interview with him.
East! But, I love Rampage, and I love Joe Hendry as well.
I'm not that
familiar with CJ Banks, and he hasn't really had... he's not really been exhibited yet on the show.
Yeah, which is why it's good to have this big platform where we can all enjoy him and get to know him. And, like, I thought that Hendry had a bit of a money promo, really. I just think he's got... There's so much you can do with Joe, because he's such a multi-talented man. He gave a little wink to the audience as well, which I'm almost sure was... Pretty sure was directed at my wife.
Yeah, you're going to want to have a word with him about that.
Just text him and go like, "Yeah, Joe.
Yeah,
come on, mate.
Come on." Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Quaking. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Next up, we got a fantastic
This is really good.
Really good. Between Gabriel Kidd, Robbie X, Liam Slater, and Lionheart.
This is where I noticed the... Because there was a couple of shots where people were like thrown onto ladders or things like that, and they were cut away to the crowd. And I instantly had flashbacks to that. 2000, watching SmackDown on Sky One.
Yeah, yeah, totally. There's one when Lionheart goes in. It's the one I remember.
Yeah.
And they cut us just before he's about to hit. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
You start to think about this. Yeah, yeah, it's a really good point.
But each guy got the chance to shine here. Particularly, in my opinion, Robbie X.
I thought Robbie was the star of this match. Absolutely.
Underneath a mask now.
Not to take anything away from the other three, but I thought Robbie X was the absolute star of this match. I was genuinely surprised he didn't win.
Yeah, well, probably because what is going to happen next week.
You called this as well. I did not see this coming, but you absolutely called it.
So it was a ladder match for an opportunity.
A big opportunity.
Yeah,
a massive
opportunity.
It's what, like, so they... So the ring announcer didn't say what the match was for. He just said you have to go up and you have to get the briefcase and bring it down. And Alex is there going like, what's inside the briefcase? And Stu Bennett is going, it's a big opportunity. It's a massive opportunity that they're definitely going to win. It's a big opportunity. And I'm there, in my conditioned way of being like, title shot. He'll probably be like for a title shot or something like that.
He's still fired.
And as soon as the match ended, you turned to me and went, I beat you into a match against Crater.
Yeah, it's a classic heel authority figure move.
And I went, oh, it probably is that.
Yeah.
And then I laughed. I was like, oh, actually, I love that a little bit. That's really good. And then they teased that right at the end of the show. And I was like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It's just like next week. Gabriel Kidd gets his big opportunity, and it's just a shot over the shoulder of Crater walking along.
And I was like, but it's an opportunity he probably doesn't want.
Yeah,
and then they show a clip of like a stretcher coming out, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great next week.
So this was a frantic ladder match.
Yeah, really good. Bear in mind as well, this is only an hour-long show.
Yeah, but an hour with ad breaks. This is a 44-minute-long show. So there's that. The ladder match is really good, and then we had a really just fun character building match with Adam Maxted and I've written Adam Maxted and Adam Maxted. It's Nathan Cruz and Adam Maxted. You've got this really good chemistry together.
Good
as an
romance,
act.
Yeah.
We were laughing about Nathan Cruz's tweet earlier this week where he was advertising WOS on Twitter, and he said, "Tune in at 5 p.m. on Saturday, whatever it is, and you're welcome for getting your mother and sister into wrestling again." Which is such a heel, because their whole thing is they're very sexually attractive.
Good-looking lads, yeah. I suppose you could put it. Because they've had a couple of vignette stuff they've done on Twitter where they're sort of working out together, and they've got this bromance thing going on. They've got this little entrance they do together where they both smack each other on the butt as they get good into the ring. It's a really enjoyable act, actually.
And this is part of the tag team elimination tournament. And they took on...
We didn't finish the ladder match. Gabriel Kidd
won.
Kidd won the match. It was really good.
HT Drake and Doug Williams.
Oh, Doug Williams. So lovely to see Doug Williams on primetime TV. Mm. This was lovely stuff. I'm a big, big Doug Williams mark. I said this on last week's show. Yeah. But when we were at the screening for the first episode with some of the wrestlers there, I genuinely marked out a little bit when Doug walked in. Yeah. And I got a little bit... I was like, I don't know if I can say anything to Doug.
And love Doug. In recent years, when I've seen him, he's not been the Doug of old. But here, I thought he had his working boots on. He was great. He was playing up to the crowd. This was the Doug I remember from the noughties, really.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this match. And, interestingly, it's another heel tag team going through. It's Maxted and Cruz. So we've got two heel tag teams that have advanced so far, and we've got two more first-round matches to go. Logic dictates... They're both going to be baby faces,
yeah.
But yes, so that's the show. Title match, four-way ladder match, tag match, women's three-way crown and first inaugural champion. 44 minutes. And we're about halfway through the tag. And I was like, God, this is enjoyable to see like this level of production and this kind of wrestling match happen. Why am I enjoying it more than usual? And I was like, there's no ad breaks. In the match,
yeah.
I mean,
they saved the ad breaks for in between matches.
What a difference that makes!
It really does. And make it sound like a broken record, but we talk about this with Raw and SmackDown. Ad breaks kill momentums in matches because when they're telling their stories, they don't want to do anything during the ad break, so they just go into a rest hold and just we'll just go into this rest hold for 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it is until we get back from the ad break. Referee goes, right, and we're back. Now you can continue the match. And it kills all storyline, and it kills the way you build a match up. But here, because the ad breaks are in between matches, you don't get that. Mm. And that's the benefit of it being taped and not live. But I think it makes for a much more enjoyable viewing experience.
Yeah, and they're wrestling-heavy shows, just percentage-wise, about... I would say 80% is in-ring wrestling.
Well, this had one more match than SmackDown's 2 hours did.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing about the way WWE put ad breaks is not just the rest holds. It's sometimes in a tag match, for instance, the babyface team will be on top, then the heels will start getting the upper hand, then you'd have the ad break. And all that work of the heels beating down the babyfaces, which you need as a viewer to get invested in the comeback, is... skipped in the ad break, and when you come back, the babyface gets a hot tag in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's a hugely important part. But we're getting to see that with the matches being uninterrupted. So, yeah. I enjoyed the heckins out of it again. I love seeing everyone on there. I love seeing just all this just high-level British wrestling stuff.
Actually, I completely agree with you. I thought it was, again, a really, really enjoyable show. Mm. I just had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you want from a wrestling show, is to be able to have fun with it. And I think it's almost perfect tea time TV on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it takes me back to I wish I could be like a kid in my youth.
You wouldn't notice the editing problems.
Absolutely, you wouldn't know. And I'd have some like fish fingers and beans and like a potato waffle or something, and I'd just be eating that, and I'd be real, oh, this is great. great. I mean, I'd love it.
Cool. Well, next week we'll have... What have we got next week? We've got that Kid versus a mystery opponent match. I don't know who that's going to be. Joe Hendry versus Martin Kirby. Grudge match set up in the first week.
Yeah, we were actually surprised that wasn't... Because they played it up in the opening video package, but that actually didn't play into the storyline of Hendry versus Rampage. But they are doing it next week where Joe and Kirby are going to face off against each other. Will it be redemption? Or is it redemption or revenge?
Revenge. Something like that.
Yeah, and we've got Rampage again defending his title. A fighting champion.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.